Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. We are going to open our Bibles to the last chapter of the book of Ezra. And today, Lord willing, we are going to conclude with study of the book of Ezra. And we are going to turn to Ezra chapter 10. It's a very long chapter. We are going to read the first 17 verses of Ezra chapter 10. We're not going to read every name from verse 18 to the end, but please follow me beginning with Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm reading. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. And Ezra arose from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Yochanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah in Jerusalem, unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gather themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. Ezra the priest stood up, and he said unto them, Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this work of 1 day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers And all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fear threats of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan, the son of Asael, and Yehayaza, the son of Tikva, were employed about this matter, and Meshulam and Shabtiel, the Levites, helped them. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain of the chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated and set down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end of all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And from here on, beloved brothers and sisters, from verse 18 to verse 44, let me just read these remarks. First of all, from verse 18 to verse 23, we have the sons of the priests are listed. And then from verse 23 to verse 24, we have the Levites, the singers, and the porters are listed. And then from verse 25 to verse 44, we have the names of the rest of the children of Israel. Their names are listed. These are all the names of the people who have taken strange wives, wives that belong to other nations. And we read in verse 44, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. You know, when I was preparing for this message over the week, I've been going over this passage. I was listening to some messages on that passage. I was reading the text and looking for the Lord's help to minister on this 10th chapter of the book of Ezra. And really almost everyone that I've been listening to, and I've read somewhat about their comments about this chapter, almost everyone said that this is not an easy chapter to speak about. In a sense, beloved brothers and sisters, this chapter is a chapter that challenging our own hearts. It shows us the reality of the human nature. And it shows us that even the best of men or women is a sinner by nature. That even though we are making a recovery and we are going back to the principles that God have taught us in the Word of God, there is still this battle that is going on because of the human nature that all of us have. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, it was the Apostle Paul who said in Romans chapter 7, he said in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Shaul, Paul, the apostle that was ministering to the nations of the world in one of the most climactic time of his life as a servant of the Lord, he says, "O wretched man that I am." He didn't say, "O wretched man that I was," but he said, "O wretched man that I am." And then he asked the question, "Who shall deliver me, Shaul, Paul, from this body of death?" And then, of course, he turned in verse 25 on Romans chapter 7 to the only person that can help us in our lives. And this is none else but our Lord Jesus the Messiah. I thank God through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. He's the only one that can help the believer to be delivered from the influence of the world, from the satanic attraction, and from this old nature that we have. So he turned to the Lord for help. And this is exactly what Ezra does and the leaders of Israel in a time of decline. So this Jewish remnant, first nearly 50,000, later, an additional 2,000 returned to the promised land, to the city of Jerusalem. They built a temple. With all the opposition that they had, the temple was now laid there before them. They began a restoration of the worship of the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The sacrificial system was going on. The worship was going on. Everything seems to be in order. But something happened. And in chapter 9, we have learned that Ezra received information when he arrived to the city of Jerusalem. And they told him in verse 1 and 2 of the 9th chapter, he says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came unto me and they said to me, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even as unto the Canaanim, Chittim, Perizim, Yevusim, Ammonim, Moavim, Mitzrim, and Amorim.'" All those nations of the land. Can you imagine now? Ezra began his mourning. The whole chapter 9, which we have covered in our last meeting, he was broken before the Lord because he was assuming, "I'm coming back to my homeland, to Yerushalayim. I'm coming back to the temple. Will I find there that which is honoring unto the Lord?" And when he came, what does he find? The people of Israel, not only that they took strange wives, they were doing the abomination of all these lands, perhaps worshipping idols, perhaps living a lifestyle that is sinful, and on and on and on. Ezra was at awe. He was amazed. And Ezra, we find out in this chapter that we have already read, chapter 9, he was mourning and he was weeping and he was crying before the Lord. And if you remember, we read in verse 6 of chapter 9, and he said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed. I blush to lift up my face unto thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens." You know what happened when sins are over our heads? When water is over your hands, you are drowning. And here what we see, the people of God are drowning in their ways of living, even once they are already back in the promised land. And to apply this to the present day church age, if we are not careful, we are all able to be under the same condition, beloved brothers and sisters. So what do we do? If we find this condition, what do we do? Is there any hope? Should we just carry on and say, "Well, what's the use? All had failed. I have failed. He had failed. She had failed. They had failed. So what should we do? Should we just give up and we say, 'There is no hope, there is no tikva'?" Well, in the 10th chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, we learn that there is a hope. There is always a hope for the people of God to be restored back to the Lord. It doesn't matter where you and I are. It doesn't matter where we were. It doesn't matter how we fail. There is still a hope for restoration. And if we do not realize that, we're losing out, because God is always delighted to see the people of God coming back to Him. He is the God of the second chance. He is the God that is always going to draw us back to Himself. Even after we fail, He always can restore us back to Himself. So I would like you to see, beloved brothers and sisters, in this chapter, that especially this expression, and I want to highlight this expression, "There is a hope in Israel." Notice this expression. In Hebrew it says, "Yesh mikveh leYisrael." Yesh tikvah leYisrael. It's the word tikvah is the national anthem of the nation of Israel today. If you're going to Israel and there is the national anthem is being sung or being played, it is a moving song and the words are wonderful, and it is called Hatikvah, the hope. There is a hope. There is no such a thing that there is no hope. There is no hope in the world. There is no hope with Satan. There is no hope for the flesh on its own without God. But there is a hope in the God of Israel. There is a hope in our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. From the book of Ezra in chapter 10, we learn there is a need to be conditioned in order that this hope can be presented to us or accomplished in the life of the believer. Well, we cannot just say there is a hope and not act upon this. So in this chapter, I would like you to see, first of all, in verses 1 to 6, that Ezra is being encouraged to know that there is a hope in the land with the God of Israel. There is a hope in Israel. So, look what Ezra does. In order for restoration to come to pass, and in order for revival to occur, there must be some condition met. We cannot expect revival in our personal life. We cannot expect revival in our fellowship life. We cannot expect revival in the ecclesia, the church, the called out one, if conditions are not being met. Look at some of the conditions. First, if there will be a revival and a restoration and hope brought to the surface, there must be a burden in prayer about the needs of the people of God. Look at verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men, women, and children, for the people wept very sore. We find immediately that prayer is necessary. In Hebrew we call it tefillah, lehitpalel. To pray means that I am speaking with the living God. That I am telling him my situation. That I am sharing with him my heart. In your personal life, how is your prayer life? How do you and I spend time during the week in prayer? Do we take the time and simply go on our knees before the Lord and just ask him to help us, and you share with him our challenges, our problems, our family needs, our jobs, our finances, all the things that are ahead of us? Well, Ezra, we find out the first thing that he does, he's praying. But you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, that when he prayed individually, somehow others were led to do the same. If you and I don't pray on our own, how do we expect others to learn from that and do the same? We individually should be praying to spend time in speaking with the Lord. So Ezra is praying. It is a sincere prayer. You know, it's weeping and cast himself down before the house of God. You know, many years ago, I used to go to prayer meetings in Iago on the Lake, in our local assembly there. And I tell you, it really moved my heart. When some of the brethren were praying, they were weeping. They were not only saying things. They were broken before the Lord about the needs, the conditions that existed, and problems that they all, maybe some of them had more than others. But they were praying, they were crying before the Lord. It was sincere weeping before the Lord. Lord, we need your help. This is important. Even among our own Jewish people historically, here we see this brokenness before the Lord. The reality, oh God, we need your help. And you know, when we were going through prayer meeting, and if we were not right before the Lord, the prayer was just words, and it seems to not rise above the ceiling. And notice what it says, confessing and weeping and casting himself down before the house of God. Beit HaMikdash, Beit Elohim, there in the city of Jerusalem, and he was praying. And you know, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the shortest verse in the Bible, in John 11, we read Jesus wept. We never read one time Jesus laughed. But we read that Yeshua wept. Now he had a joy. He was a man of joy. But he wept because he saw our people Israel. He went to the funeral service of Eliezer. And we saw the condition of the people. He wept over our city. And you remember what we read in scripture? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, when Yeshua was approaching the city of Jerusalem, he says, oh, how long would I have gathered you as a hen gather her chicks, but you would not. And he wept over the city.
We need to weep over our failure and our sins. We cannot just brush it. We need to realize we failed the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be sincere in our prayer. And if we will do so, God will exercise others to do so. Because look at this, beloved brothers and sisters. It's not only Ezra. Because it says in verse 1, they assembled unto him out of Israel a great congregation. Men, women, and children. Now you know what we learn from this? It's not only for the men that the men should exercise the prayer. Our wives, the women, need to pray as well. And you know, we are mentioning every Shabbat meeting that at 12 o'clock or 12 something there is a prayer meeting. I challenge you, dear sisters, to take the time to pray for us, for the fellowship, for the meeting, to pray that the Lord will just help us. That it will be a time of blessing here when we gather together. The Lord will be honored. We will be all encouraged and have another week able to be charged and going to face the world that is before us. But it's not only the men, not only the women, but also the children. It's so beautiful to see. You know, it's so wonderful to see when the children praying for their parents, praying for their mom and dad, praying for the brothers and sisters. Take the time to pray and to say, God, I love my parents. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my elders. I want them to be blessed. Lord, help them. The Bible said the little ones that will cry to the Lord, God is always ready to hear the cry of his people. And it's so wonderful, brothers and sisters, to see that this has existed already at that time, in the time of Ezra. You know, I was thinking of a verse that is found in a song of Solomon, in Shir HaShirim, where we read in that song of Solomon, in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, draw me, and then we will run. Draw me first, and then we, plural, will run. In other words, if you first gonna do a work, God, do a work in me first, so I can be an influence to the others, and the others will follow after. Shaul Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So we learn, beloved brothers and sisters, the first thing in order to revive the people of God, to restore the people of God, is necessary to spend time in prayer, in a sincere prayer for the people of God. And I want to say that we have a problem because we like to talk to men more than to talk to God. And you notice, you and I spend more time telling people what they need to do instead of telling God to help me what I need to do in order to live for him and to follow after him. Don't you feel it is the same like this in our life? We are always ready to tell somebody, but we are not as ready to talk to the Lord. And this is what we find in Ezra. Ezra gave us an example. He took the time to pray, to confess, to weep, to cast himself unto the ground before the temple of the house of God, and others did follow him from the nation of Israel. Men, women, and children. And notice it says at the end of verse 1, for the people wept very sore. So it was really contagious. When they saw Ezra praying, it moved their heart. And the Lord speak to them that they realized, oh Lord, it's not them, it's me. We all are the ones that need to pray. And they all began to pray. And it's so wonderful to see that in this passage. And beloved brothers and sisters, there are so many verses that we can read. It's important for us to pray. We are exhorted in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come to the throne of grace. In the presence of the Lord is a place where God can give us grace and help us in time of need. And we can share this with our Lord. Secondly, I want you to notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 2 now, if there will be a restoration and recovery from failure, not only that there must be a burden in prayer, but also there must be a true confession. I want you to notice this in verse 2, that there must be a true confession, because when we sin, when Israel has sinned, they've sinned against God.
As we have read already in chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, they have taken the wives of the nations around there, and they not only have not separated themselves, they have committed the abomination of the people of the land. So they needed to deal with it in confession. And so we read in verse 2, and I'm reading this, Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet, Ezra, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. You see, all of a sudden, one of the men there of the people of Israel, his name is Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel. In Hebrew, Shechaniah ben Yechiel. I think it's so beautiful because every Hebrew name that God have given our people of old, the people of Israel, has a meaning. Shechaniah ben Yechiel. Shechan means dwelled. Yah means Jehovah dwelled. Son of Yechiel means God is alive. He makes us alive. He's able to bring us to be alive again. He's able to restore us. So this man, he's the one that came and told to Ezra, and he says, you know, Ezra, we have sinned. Ezra, we have trespassed against, and notice, he doesn't say against them, we have trespassed against our God. You know that every time that we sin, we might hurt somebody else. Yes, of course. And maybe we hurt ourselves because we sin against ourselves. But really, beloved brothers and sisters, this trespass, first of all, was against God. Every time that we sin really against God Himself. First of all. And that's what he says here, this man by the name of Shechaniah ben Yechiel. He says, you know, we have trespassed against our God. We have sinned against our God. And if we sin willfully against our God, we need to confess this to Him. And so here, the next thing that is very important, there must be not only a burden in prayer, we need to pray.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.